File 11.
You're almost at the end of our book. Now you can see that audiobook for free is a good idea. We are constantly looking for investment to produce more books, improve and expand our services, and generate more income for our contributors, shareholders and investors. Join us with your money and enjoy it.
Technique number 25. For huntresses, what turns you on? Huntresses purr mysteriously about how you like imaginative sex. Then, with a mischievous little grin on your face, ask him, "Honey, what turns you on?" His answer could be the golden egg guaranteed to get his goose and make him fall in love with you. You may come up with nothing, or you may unearth the key to his heart. But now be prepared to hear some of the most common male fantasies coming from his lips. What are the most common secret male fantasies? Research shows that it's fantasies of having sex with two women, seeing two women make love to each other, seeing a woman masturbate, having the woman take charge and give him sexual commands, dominating a woman. The list goes on. The list also gets increasingly more far out and esoteric. If there are any secret marbles in his little bag, he will now spill them out into your lap, thrilled that he is with such a free-spirited woman. Now, huntresses, your work isn't over yet. Far from it. Whatever his answer to your "what turns you on" question, feign excitement, put a twinkle in your eye and say, "Oh, really?" Then maybe bite your lip a little, trying to suppress your thrill, and croon, "Tell me more." Punctuate his monologue with appropriate oohs and ahs and sexy smiles. Your goal is getting him to continue talking about whatever turns him on. A few warnings. It is crucial, as he is sharing these intimacies with you, that you don't let one minuscule judgmental frown flicker across your brow. Most women are smart enough, when they see their lover's private parts for the first time, to know they shouldn't grimace or giggle. Well, when a man is sharing his fantasies with you, he is bearing his mental private parts. He is sensitive to your every expression. One disapproving look, and he zips his lip on this subject, maybe forever. Technique number 26, for huntresses, the hot purr response. How should you respond when you get him talking about sex? An approving moan, a hot purr, and perhaps a naughty smile punctuated by a little licking of your lips is precisely what the X-rated Miss Manners suggests. Do all men have a sexual secret? No, of course not. But get ready for a pretty surprising statistic. Therapists report that about 90% of men have a secret desire they've never shared with their wives or significant others. Incidentally, the "what turns you on" technique is a splendid method for finding out if the two of you are going to be sexually compatible in the long run. Some men have sexual habits and proclivities that are a nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live with them. So suppose you're sitting across the restaurant table with a reflection of candlelight in the beautiful wine glass flickering off your expectant, smiling face. You've asked him, "What turns you on?" And he starts telling you some bizarre activity you could never accept. What should you do? Scream? Grab your bag and run? Say, "Ugh, that's disgusting," or "What a sicko you are." No. Listen anyway. React as though what he's saying is exciting. You may run to the ladies' room and gag later if it's something you really find distasteful, but now is not the time to show it. You've led him this far down the garden path, and it's not fair to kick sand in his face. Incidentally, you must never share his secret with anyone else, even your best friend. You have tricked him into telling you, and now you must play fair. Chances are his secret will be something very ordinary. But if you want him to fall in love with you, it's up to you to make him think that you find his ordinary desires extraordinarily exciting. I once had to face that challenge. I met Charles at a party he and his roommate were giving. We hit it off instantly. He was a copywriter with a large advertising agency, and I was fascinated by him. We started dating, and it was headed toward a love relationship. But this time, I wasn't going to make the same mistake I had made with Christopher. One night at dinner, holding hands across the table, I purred, "Charlie, what really turned you on? Sexually, I mean." A little taken aback by my question, he hemmed and hawed, but but I assured him I loved fantasy and really wanted to know, etc., etc., purr, purr. Well, Lily said, during sex, I've always fantasized being a chicken. A chicken, I gulped? Golly, that's so exciting. Well, one thing led to another, and I wound up playing chicken with Charlie. The details of the game are too weird to go into here. But suffice it to say, because I really liked Charlie, it was kind of fun, but not something I'd want as a steady diet. Charles and I broke up, but to this day, Charles still calls me. Fantasy fulfillment is that important to a man. Hunters, do these techniques work with women? Chalk it up to yet another drop in the ever-expanding ocean of gender differences. You will not thrill a woman if on your first date you embark upon an inquisition about her sexual fantasies. A woman would probably misinterpret your asking what turned you on too early in a relationship. You would sound crude. Additionally, women are more private about their fantasies and do not feel the same need to share them. You still need the answer to the crucial question, what turns you on? The goal is the same, gentlemen. The method is different. After you are into an intimate relationship with her, ask her, with caution, about previous relationships, what she liked, what she didn't. Proceed slowly and let her know your motivation. You are not being nosy. It's simply that because you are so thrilled with the pleasure she gives you, you want to reciprocate. Therefore, you'd like to know what has given her pleasure in the past. This opens the door for her to give you any gentle guidance or directions if she wants to. If you pick up that she prefers not to talk about it, however, don't press. Step softly, tread gently. And if, from what she's willing to divulge, you can pick up some useful information on her sexual attitudes and preferences, you're ahead of the game. Gentlemen, whenever I ask a girlfriend what it is that sexually excites her about her current lover, I hear qualities like, he's brilliant, he's sensitive, he's responsible, he's honest, and a myriad of other qualities that you think have nothing to do with what goes on under the sheets. But those qualities add to her excitement over you, even when the lights are out. Keep in mind that she is excited by you as more of a total package. Her sexuality is not as specific. Your technique between the sheets is important, but for a woman it runs much deeper than that. All of your wonderful qualities and actions, in bed and out, add to her excitement over you. Now here is yet another technique both hunters and huntresses can use to net their prey. However, I direct the next chapter to hunters, because this one is more potent for you. It uncovers another kind of fantasy, a deeper one which involves your quarry's psychosexual needs. Hunters, women too have hot sexual fantasies, intense sexual fantasies, recurring sexual fantasies. And gentlemen, if you manage to fulfill a woman's sexual fantasies, it's a big step in making her fall in love with you. But there is a greater leap you can take into her heart, a more effective stride in achieving your goal, and that is to fulfill her relationship fantasies. As no two people have precisely the same sexual fantasies, no two people have precisely the same relationship fantasies. Again, a generalization to be sure, but like men have more specific sexual desires, women have more specific relationship desires. But according to the testimonies I received at the project, many women have an unusual twist to how they want to be loved. Hunters, you may have met beautiful, accomplished women, women who could have anybody, and yet they are still alone. They tell their friends, the right man just hasn't come along yet. And for them, it's true. Because for them, the definition of the right man is very specific. It is important for a woman to be loved in the way she needs to be loved. Recently, I decided to add to the project's research by asking my girlfriends how they envision being loved. I was stunned by the diversity of their answers. One of my friends, Catherine, is 42 and she's never been married. We had this discussion, and she told me she wanted a man who would make her, quote, number one in his life. She wanted a man who would have no other people in his life who were more important to him than her. That included even past wives or current family members, like children. Catherine told me she realized this is difficult because most men of her age had been married before, and many had children. She said she broke up with her previous lover, Bill, because she felt he was too attached to his children by a previous marriage. Catherine knew her craving to be number one was unfair and irrational, but she couldn't let go of it. We talked more. She told me she had come from a turbulent, broken family. Catherine remembers one fearful moment standing in the living room, gripping her mother's hand. Her father was shouting at her mother as he walked out the door for the very last time. He said, "You are not the number one priority in my life anymore. Goodbye." While telling me this, Catherine put her hands over her ears as to shut out the horror of her father's words. Seeing how moved I was by her story, Catherine shared an embarrassing secret with me. She said when she was dating Bill, she had an image of herself and Bill's two daughters by a previous marriage on a sinking raft. In her nightmare, Bill would come racing out in a small boat to rescue them. But there was room for only one other person in the boat. Who would he rescue? In fact, she admitted she once blatantly proposed this question to Bill. He rightfully said, "Catherine, that is not a fair question. There are different kinds of love. You are the most important person to me in the woman category. But how can you compare that to love for my daughters?" Bill was right, of course, and Catherine knew it. But it still wasn't enough for her. As ashamed as she was of her illogical need, it didn't go away. The fact that Bill wouldn't tell her she was number one was a big factor in her breaking up with him. Catherine is now very much in love with a man named Dan. But Dan is more astute than Bill. He knows enough to say, "Kathy, you are number one in my life." These words are like sexual trigger words to Catherine. She's hoping that Dan proposes to her. Some women's relationship fantasies are even more masochistic than Catherine's. Have you ever known a woman who always winds up with a, quote, bastard who treats her badly? This is such a common phenomenon that some men fear that nice guys finish last. And with those particular women, they do. The fortunate women are the ones who are more realistic and have no strange twists on their relationship fantasies. They simply want a man who is loving, good, kind, supportive, a good husband and father, who will adore them and never look at another woman and be faithful forever. Come to think of it, how realistic is that relationship fantasy? The studies tell us that women are more demanding than men in the qualities their partner must have. The recurring cry, "There are no good men out there," does not literally mean there are no good men out there. It means there is a shortage of men who fill that particular woman's definition of good. And again, hunters, that definition is very subjective.